Malachi chapter 2 from verse 17. The Day of Judgment. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you were seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Mark chapter 1, from the beginning. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Peter. Let's pray. Father, any words that I say that out of my own vanity, may you forgive. Any words that are said that are of yours, may you bless. Bless us now, Lord, to hear your word and be guided by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who may not know, I have a twin. Now, we aren't identical. I can't imagine how my mum might have coped if there were two of me running around. But as brothers, we were both very similar. We were both very competitive. Now, as some of you may know, if you have your own kids or you know about siblings or children, you have to be very, very fair. And I mean like down to the pound fair. If one kid got more money, that was it. The other one was gone. Very angry. It was unfair. It was unjust. And I remember one Christmas, me and my brother had asked for items related to our sports. So my brother was a cricket player. He wanted new cricket gear. I was a competing martial artist at the time. So I'd asked my parents for new fight gear. Now, my brother's sport was a bit more well known. And so there was a nice cricket shop near to where we lived. So one Saturday morning, my dad and my mum could go down, buy all this gear, and then, are any kids here? No. And then hide it so that we couldn't find it. However, me and my brother were quite crafty, and so we knew exactly where they were hidden. So under the bed we look, and there it all is. New shin pads for my brother, new cricket helmet, a new willow cricket bat, very nice stuff. But there was some stuff missing. My stuff, on the other hand, being fight gear, is a bit harder to get hold of and has to be imported from Europe. So I'd sat on a computer with my parents and pointed out all the ones I wanted, and she had said, OK, they'll be here eventually, and click send. And so the first day, we look under there, just my brother's stuff. OK, I can live with that. Day two comes up, look under, still just his stuff. Day three, day four, day five, by the end of it, I've had enough. I go to my parents and say, this isn't fair. Sean's stuff is all here. My stuff hasn't turned up yet. You guys aren't being very fair to me. My parents first do this, and then go, we need a new hiding place. They found it. And then my mum says to me, Ryan, you watched us order the gear you wanted. You know it's coming. Be patient. Wait, there is a plan. So I walk off and try to remember that. And then a couple of weeks go by, and all my gear turns up, red, white, and blue. I'm very happy. We're all very excited. And then my mum comes to me and says, I told you there was a plan. I told you it would turn up eventually. And upon my reflection of that, as I've gotten a bit older, I sort of realised that, in my head, I knew always that my parents were fair. They were always fair. But in that situation, it didn't go down to my heart. It's often said that the longest distance for anything to travel was from here to here. And I think I saw that in myself then. But I also see a bit of it in this passage. The people are saying to God, you are unfair. Where is the God of justice? And frankly, I quite like that in over 2,500 years, we are still asking the same question. We haven't changed. When you or I go into social media or open a newspaper, it isn't hard to see the injustice in the world. And these don't have to be really big things. They can be quite small things. The way some people are treated at work. The injustice of some benefit systems. Maybe favoritism at work. The list goes on and on and on. And if people know that we are followers of God, it can be quite easy for them to point to us and say, your God clearly isn't just if he lets this happen. He clearly isn't fair. Where is your God? The helicopter crash in the Grand Canyon that happened about a year ago was quite a big thing for my church in Worthing, because the parents of the two brothers who died went to our church. And so when this news came out that they went here, they were Christians, the press were eager to ask myself and any of the staff members, but frankly anyone, where is your God? Your God isn't just if he lets these two die, lest his parents go through such horrors. And I had no answer. How do I respond? I wish I could think of a quick one-liner that would be all right, but I don't. I don't think it's we deserve to have that ability in one way. But as I look at how I responded, in this passage we see how God responds to the accusation. And he responds by saying, I will send my messenger. Who will prepare the way before me? This is a message about John the Baptist. But the way it is written will point people to the prophecy in Isaiah, the same one we heard read in our Mark reading. Now that prophecy was written about 300 years before Malachi spoke these words. It's as if Malachi is saying, look, God said he would come. Someone will prepare the way for his coming. John the Baptist is being foretold by Malachi. Malachi is saying, look back to what Isaiah said. Look back so that you can look forward. John the Baptist is coming. The Lord is being prepared. But this passage also talks about someone else coming. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. John the Baptist is only the first step. There will be another. Another who will bring the new covenant. Now, just like the first bit of the sentence, this is pointing people back. It's pointing people back to the prophets of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. All prophets who have told about the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the new covenant. The covenant that will fulfill Abraham's covenant and Moses. This new covenant will be fulfilled and complete all of them. In this covenant, the Lord will come to his temple. Once again, Malachi is saying, look back to look forward. And I wonder what that phrase, when he comes to that temple, makes you think of. Well, we know, looking this side of history, that the new covenant is brought by Jesus. He is to bring of the new covenant the Messiah. He is the one who John the Baptist prepares the way for. Now, as a good Jewish boy, Jesus no doubt went to the temple quite regularly. But when I say the Lord comes to his temple, I do, and many of you probably will, think of the time when Jesus comes to his temple and then kicks people out of it. And I'd be surprised if Malachi's readers would have first thought of God coming to his temple to kick a bunch of people out of it. I'm sure the early Jewish readers might have read this and envisioned God coming in glorious wonder to his temple to sit on a throne, to be united in worship of his people. They might have been hard-pressed to imagine God comes and kicks them all out. But Malachi, perhaps with some foresight, warns the readers. He says, "But who can endure the day of my coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver." Malachi warns the people that God's coming into the kingdom, into the world, won't be as simple. It will be like fire. Now, fire at first seems quite scary. But if you and I look around, this whole church is made of things that is refined by fire. I'm wearing silver rings. These were items in the ground that were rock that had no beauty to them. It was only by the adding of the fire that the beauty can be revealed. Only by the fire can the impurities be removed from this rock. And Malachi is clearly talking about that. Malachi has been talking about justice up until this point. And so refine the people implies that the unjust from the unjust people themselves perhaps, will be removed. The injustice of the people will be gone. And what will be left will be the beauty, the beautiful items. God's people will be refined, and there will be justice. Fire is there to refine, but it's not there to harm. But alongside that, God also used the idea of soap. And soap is such a simple item. We all know soap isn't dangerous, unless you're washing your mouth out, if you've been naughty. Soap cleans things. And that is just what God will do to his people. The injustice will be cleaned. It will be removed from the people. Soap leaves a fresh and clean smell. Only the dirt is removed. The hands stay the same. God will come. And when he comes, he will clean his people. Make them like gold and silver, pleasing to their eye and in the purest form. But why? Well, Malachi tells us. In the second part of verse 3, the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in the former years. God is doing all of this to make the people, but more especially their worship, righteous. We have heard all through Malachi that God cares about how true and how sincere our worship is. And it is no different here. But notice how justice and worship go hand in hand. God will refine his people. He will make them like silver and gold. And then God will have a people who can lift up true worship, sincere worship. As we come to communion now, Jesus' body and blood in bread and wine, I wonder, do we at times take it in poor taste? If God's justice and true worship go hand in hand, what can be said about our worship when we have done things that are clearly unjust? When we have done things in life and said things in life which might make people point to us and go, "Where's the God of justice?" These words are the same to the Jewish readers as they are to us. God wants offerings in righteousness from a people who might be imperfect, from a people who might mess up, but are living their lives in God's justice, trying to bring it to the world. And this means standing up for the injustice in the world. Notice that the passage says, "in days gone by." It's as if it's saying, look at those who came before you. Look at how those people stood up for God's justice and gave him true worship. People who wouldn't allow unjust practices to happen. I want my people to be like that. I want you to be like that. The last verse in this passage reads, "So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, and against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, deprive the foreigners among you of justice, But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. At first, this looks like a list of things God is against, with quite a cheerful ending. Do not fear me. But I want to draw your attention to the phrase, the fatherless and the widow. That phrase has come up several times in the Old Testament. And each time it comes up, it is God telling his people to care for them. Care for the people who have no one. Once again, God is saying, look back at what I've said before, to look forward. People said to Malachi, your God is unjust. People say to us, your God is unjust. But I can say, no, my God is just. My God is the God of the fatherless and the widow. The God whose motives are for justice. Justice for the poor and the oppressed. Justice for the fatherless and the widow. God cares about those people. They're his people. And he is their God. This is shown so clearly at Christmas. When the incarnate Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the God of heaven and earth, comes down to earth, not to the kings of the earth, but to a simple family, to a simple people, to a simple place. God is the God of justice, because he tells us in this his word is given to us. Look back so that you can look forward. But it is also shown in Jesus. His life proves that God is just. He spent his life bringing justice and peace to those who needed it. And he will do it again. We are living in the now, but not yet, of the Christian story, we are often told. John the Baptist has come. He has prepared the way for Jesus. And Jesus himself has come. The bringer of the new covenant has come. And because of that, we are living in the new covenant. We are part of God's holy people. Not holy in the sense that we are perfect, but holy in the sense that we are being made perfect, day by day, by God's Spirit. We are the kingdom of God now, but one day it will come in full. Fully realized when Jesus comes again. And when he does, there will be no more injustice. There will be no more pain. The world will be refined like gold and silver or soap. And true worship with God's justice will reign. So where is the God of justice? Well, he is seen in this, looking back, so that we can look forward. He is seen in us, living out our lives with true worship, with true justice. And he will be seen again. So take hope. Take such hope. And live your life. Well, perhaps like Martin Luther said, there are 2 days in my calendar, he said. This day and that day. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you come again. We thank you that you call us to be a holy people who love you and worship you. And so, Lord, as we come to worship you again now, make us more like your Son so we can worship you more. In Jesus' name, amen.